1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Former President Donald Trump told supporters in Philadelphia that talking to them is how he's preparing for Thursday's debate. Earlier Saturday, he courted evangelical voters at an event in Washington, D.C.
Christians go to church, but they don't vote that much. Do you know the power you have if you would vote? It wouldn't even be. So you got to get out and vote just this time. I don't care. In 4 years, you don't have to vote, okay?
President Biden spending the weekend preparing for the debate at Camp David, the presidential retreat. Severe heat continues to impact millions of people across the U.S. It's deadly in the Middle East. Authorities say more than 1,000 people have died during this year's Hajj, the Islamic pilgrimage to the city of Mecca. And police in Arkansas say a fourth victim's died after Friday's shooting at a grocery store in Fordyce. Four people are still in hospitals, including a woman in critical condition. Police have not released any information about a motive. This is ABC News. Police in Connecticut say a father tried to drown his two children at a beach in West Haven early Saturday morning, both children under 3 years old.
When patrol officers happened by, they heard the cries of the children in the water, says West Haven Police Chief Joseph Perno.
Their first action was to take all of their equipment off, leave it on the beach, and go in after them.
They called for more officers.
Officers got to the children and passed them back in a relay fashion to the shore, where they were immediately attended to with CPR.
The mom was away on a trip, police say. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Charges expected against the father include attempted murder. Michigan Supreme Court's going to hear arguments in cases that could result in a ban on automatic life sentences for people who were 19 or 20 years old when they were involved in a major crime. In 2018, the court ruled that no mandatory no parole sentences for people 18 years old violated the prohibition on cruel and unusual punishment. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Over the past 20 years, Wisconsin has seen a huge increase in reported elder abuse cases. Elder abuse is the verbal, physical, emotional, sexual, or financial abuse of a senior citizen. It can also be the intentional or unintentional neglect of an older person. Wisconsin's population of seniors 65 and older is projected to grow significantly in the coming decades. That's why we all share the responsibility to help protect our seniors by recognizing and reporting any signs of elder abuse. If you believe that elder abuse has been inflicted upon yourself or someone you know, please report it. Call the Wisconsin Elder Abuse Hotline toll-free at 1-833-586-0107 or visit reportelderabusewi.org. Respect our elders. Report abuse. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Justice.
This project is supported by the Administration for Community Living, ACL, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, as part of a financial assistance award totaling $120,000 with 100% funding by ACL HHS. The contents are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official views of nor an endorsement by ACL HHS or the U.S. government.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm.
News, I'm Terry Bell. Devices called anaerobic digesters convert waste from large factory farms, known as CAFOs, into fuel. But some experts say it's not the boon to the environment that others say it is. Here's Mike Moan.
Anaerobic digesters create a mixture of gases to be used for electricity or processed into transportation fuel. In a report his group recently issued, Chris Hunt of the Socially Responsible Agriculture Project says federal incentives spurring these projects allow the presence of industrial lag to overshadow renewable energy benefits.
If we put money toward biogas, we're essentially helping to subsidize and further entrench industrial livestock production.
Hunt says that opens the door to other pollution risks linked with higher levels of animal waste. His organization found that the herd size on factory farms with digesters grew by nearly 4% year over year, 24 times the growth rate of typical dairies. Supporters of this technology argue common sense regulations could balance accountability and opportunities for the movement to thrive. Even if biogas production wiped out methane emissions completely, Hunt contends it's still a narrow view of the factory farm problem.
Biogas doesn't solve the factory farm issue. Greenhouse gas emissions aren't the only problems with factory farms. As someone who's been working on this issue for 20 years, it's actually one of the problems with factory farms that concerns me the least.
Report authors say water pollution from factory farms will still exist. They add these digesters don't address worker or animal rights abuses uncovered at concentrated animal feeding operations. Those calling attention to the issue stress they're not against dairy farms. They just want the public to embrace sustainable solutions. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. This story was produced with original reporting from Lena Beck for Modern Farmer.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A mix of clouds and sunshine for your Sunday. Northwest winds and a chance of showers, even some thunderstorms as we head through the afternoon. Highs in the mid and upper 70s. Those shower and storm chances come to an end tonight. Partly cloudy, upper 50s to lower 60s. Right now, it's 64.
Maggie Dawn.
It is day 16 and week 4 of Joe Biden's Top 100. Our theme this week, healthcare. You're not going to want to miss a single episode.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Good day to be indigenous. Get up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, hit me, cut it,
because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local. I thought I was going to get through a whole show without making a mistake, Haley.
It's okay.
We discuss local and national Native news and events, and as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This segment of Native Roots Radio is presented in partnership with Little Moments Count. Little Moments Count is a statewide collaborative focused on helping parents and caregivers learn about the importance of brain development in the first 3 years of life.
Yeah, well, here at Native Roots Radio, we're always excited to be partnering with Little Moments Count. And, you know, we host conversations focused on early childhood development, which is so, so important. And we bring guests on the monthly and to talk about how they view the role of early childhood and development and creating bright futures and strong communities. And, boy, that's what we're all about. And we have our friend Barb Fabre, CEO of Indigenous Visioning, and a good friend, and has been on the show many times. We're so happy to have you on again, Barb. Welcome.
Bonjour. good to see you too, as well. How are you on Juneteenth?
Yes, happy Juneteenth. We're doing well. I'm glad you brought that up. It's something that we support our BIPOC relatives in celebrating, and it's a national holiday in some states, and I know in the state of Minnesota recognizes Juneteenth in a good way, Haley.
Yeah, it's really cool. So always want to support our BIPOC relatives, and especially our Afro-Indigenous relatives.
You know, we haven't had you on in a long time, and we're excited, Barb, to have you on. And I'm excited to be a Facebook friend of yours, too, so I can kind of spy on you. Good one. Hey, can you provide an overview of Indigenous Parent Leadership Initiative, IPLI, and its primary goals, and remind our listening audience all over Turtle Island?
Sure. So Indigenous Visioning and All Nations Rise partnered with the National Parent Leadership Initiative a few years ago, and they gave us permission to indigenize it for our tribal communities. And so, as you know, I've been on here before, and just like Little Moments Count, You know, we want to support the parents and their information around child development, brain development, empower them, empower their voice, because often, you know, policies and systems are set up, you know, without the parent voice at the table. And our graduates from the Indigenous Parent Leadership, my goodness, they're just wonderful change agents for their family and their tribal communities. So it's been pretty awesome. We've done cohorts 1 and 2. We'll have cohorts 3 and 4, and that's on the White Earth Reservation. So we have parents from White Earth, from all backgrounds and experiences, and they're just doing amazing work. I'm just so proud of them. So, and we're starting again, cohort 3 this fall. So we're gearing for that.
Wow, that's totally exciting. I didn't realize it's only 3. We've amplified this and talked about this for a couple of years. So that's exciting that we've been kind of around for the ground floor of this great initiative you have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we've had maybe 1 or 2 of our graduates, and as well as our project manager, Beth Ann Dodds. And then we also had our co-director of that is Chris Manning. I believe she was on 2. And they just, you know, wanted to share about what a wonderful opportunity. It's a 23-week course. So it's, you know, there's a commitment on the parents. And it's like 5 hours a week. And they learn about child development. They learn about how systems affect them and their family. And they kind of, you know, tune up their leadership skills. And their one of the courses is I over E, which is intellect over emotion. I mean, how many times have you gone, you know, been somewhere like in a tribal council meeting or somewhere and parents are, you know, they try to get their point across and, you know, their emotion takes over and their point, you know, is lost in tears or, you know, anger. And this has just like, boom, turned them right around, and they are amazing. I've heard them all speak and they're just amazing.
That's some training that we all as tribal members could use.
Yeah.
I know from my other job, I've experienced it from my own self too. So to have those tools in the toolbox and kind of know the correct way and the good way to do things, it just amplifies and helps. I know it helps me, and I'm sure it helps the learners and the people in your program to maneuver it in a good way and be heard instead of people thinking that they're, or I'm an emotional mess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been on school board, and I used to work with Indian Child Welfare. So, you know, in the court or whether it's before the board and I've been in tribal council meetings, you know, they're so passionate about what they came, but the point gets lost. And now the graduates are just amazing. They're on local, state, and national panels and associations. One is on the National SNAP agency. I mean, it's just amazing. They're just advocates.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. There's a couple of curriculum models. Do you care to talk a little bit about them?
Yeah, we're really excited. We're going to bring in the Children's Indigenous Children's Leadership Initiative. It's another program that the National Parent Leadership Institute has. And so we're going to indigenize that and bring it back. And of course, Dr. Anton Troyer helped us create the cultural foundation that we paired. So we paired an Indigenous curriculum with for the Ojibwe, and a Westernized civic curriculum. So we married them, and that's how IPLI, Indigenous Parent Leadership, came about. And now we're going to do that with Children's Leadership Initiative. And then just recently, we went into a partnership with the Anna E. Casey Foundation, and they are supporting our alumni to keep them going after graduate, and they're, you know, support them in their community projects. And then they're also interested in partnering with us to create a Indigenous Youth Leadership Initiative. So that's in the works.
Wow, that's exciting stuff. And I just applaud you because you're doing it in a good heart and a good way. And people obviously see that and support you, so you can support the community. I got a quick question before we end the segment here, but the recent developments and achievements, can you share about the Children's and Youth Leadership Initiatives?
Well, they're for the young groups, and I know we are going to go on break here, but that's for ages 5 through 12, I believe. So, and then the youth one will be, you know, probably around 13 on up to 20. We don't know, but I'm so excited to partner with local programs to help develop that.
Cool. We'll talk more about that. Hey, we're with Barb Fabre, CEO of a founder of Indigenous Visioning at All Nations Rise. We'll be right back after this short break.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Sometimes our healthcare system can feel impersonal. Who can help my healthcare team understand what is important to me? Who can connect me with community services and health resources?
Community health representatives can. Community health representatives, or CHRs, live and work in our community, so they understand your unique health needs and can break down the barriers that get between you and the quality care you deserve. Want to learn more? See all the good community health representatives do at dhs.wisconsin.gov/CHR.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
Fabulous Farm Bay PM Yankee here with the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings right here on WGBW. It's about your food and where it comes from. Tune in and learn. 5 a.m., 1590 a.m., 97.9 FM, the Talk of Green Bay.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This segment of Native Roots Radio is presented in partnership with Little Moments Count. For more information, you can visit littlemomentscount.org.
You know, Haley, nearly 80% of brain growth happens in the first 1,000 days in small moments of interaction, like talking, playing, reading, and singing help create the pathways that builds a child's brain during the early stage of life. And hey, we're here with Barb Fabre, CEO of Indigenous Visioning, and we are just talking a little bit about Indigenous Parent Leadership Initiative, and we're always really excited. Before I get into a question, Barb, I think a lot about your other things that you do, like those packages that you send out. And boy, I'd really like to have you come back and just talk about that on one show. And those are game-changing things that you and your organization and people you partner with just really, really make things happen.
Miigwech. Yes, we're so excited about Indigivox, and that's for early childhood classrooms up to grade 3. And then our Indigenous family, friends, and neighbor network across the state of Minnesota. It's informal childcare. We want to support kids and families wherever they are.
And like I've always said too, it's really good not only for the young ones, but the family that opens up those boxes with them. And I could use one of those boxes about right now, Haley.
Yeah, really good information and tools in there that are Indigenous specifically to our Indigenous families.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Barb, you're a mover and a shaker. And again, that's why I'm kind of creeping on you on Facebook and watching all the stuff you're doing.
Ditto.
There was ditto again. Cool. Hey, you know, let's get into how has the partnership with Anne E. Casey Foundation impact the IPLI, and especially in supporting alumni, which is important, and parents?
Right. Well, after graduation, you know, the graduates, they can do a community project to use their skill. And so that community project is whatever their passion is. And we give them a little bit of funding, $500 towards their project. And so there's been some pretty amazing projects that come out of there. And so then when we met with Anna E. Casey, you know, they came up and visited us, and they just absolutely fell in love with the IPLI and everything. And they met the parents. So the graduates really had an effect on them, that where they wanted to support them after graduation so that they weren't just, you know, left. So they gave us funding to support our alumni and keep that going. And so the goal is just to, you know, graduate multiple cohorts. So just imagine what multiple cohorts of parents, advocate parents in a tribal community. It's beautiful, and we're getting there. And I know other tribes have contacted us. We've been in discussion with the National Parent Leadership Initiative, how to increase capacity and take it to other communities. So we're in those discussions now, because you know, our graduates and I'm going to quote one of our graduates, said this is magic, and it's bigger than all of us. And so when you have a man, a male Indigenous man, saying that, you know you got something pretty special, and they're, each one of them is pretty special.
Well, it's brilliant to keep in touch with the alumni and supporting the alumni, because a lot of times that comes back tenfold too. And that's where our leaders come from. We, you know, I know at my age, I'm looking for the next leaders to take over the things that I'm doing, whether it's family or young ones that whether it's radio or whatever, to carry on in a good fashion. So alumni are so important.
Absolutely. You know, and then to bring, you know, even start that with children, start the leadership and the cultural foundation with them, and all the way up to, you know, 20 years old, you know, we're going to be changing cycles. We're breaking the cycle. And I think that is probably what keeps us going. You know, it's just knowing that this is going to be an impact. We are reversing historical trauma, and, you know, and then to have our tribes help lead. We support tribes to lead any initiative we have in our communities. So getting tribal councils on board and to understand what IPLI is. Because, right, they'll be, you know, I foresee many of these graduates running for different, you know, political offices, because they're that passionate now. Now that they have the skills and seeing what they can do. Yeah, I'm excited.
That is exciting. And, you know, tell us about the grant that the Minnesota Department of Health, and how will that help civic engagement with, like, Red Lake and White Earth communities?
Well, like I said, we hope to expand this. We did write for the Community Solutions Grant through MDH and received it. We received partial funding, because they were, you know, the request, a lot of people applied for it. So they had way more requests than they did dollars. So they funded what they could, and we're just grateful we got partial funding. So now, you know, we've had to chase the dollar and try to find additional dollars just to keep it going. But we're confident we'll get that. We've got support from, you know, Northwest Foundation. We applied to Blandin and a couple other ones, but, you know, and Annie E. Casey, we're in discussion with Casey Family Programs, the state of Minnesota. So we're confident it's going to get there. It's just, doing the capacity building is what's taken a little bit more time than we anticipated.
Yeah, I can imagine. You know, can you tell us some of the most rewarding experiences and success stories that you've had participating in IPLI?
Well, I think the graduates, you know, they've been on NPR several times. They've been, interviewed, and many of them are on several advisory boards and committees, like I said, but it's them, you know, just taking leadership roles has been my most rewarding thing out of it. And just watching them, and they're like kids, you know, I'm like the big auntie, and it's just wonderful to see them. We recently had another graduate, and I hired one of the graduates who's working with us on Indigibox. And we're, you know, hoping we wish we could hire them all and we had funding, because they are such big advocates. But I think, you know, when, you know, Beth Ann and Chris, they work with the parents and they survey them a lot. And so the reading the responses from the parents themselves, what comes, you know, out of them and what they think of it is probably the success stories. You know, it's not anything we did, or, you know, that it's just what they're coming out on the other side as true child advocates for their family and their community. It's just beautiful.
That is beautiful. Yeah. And we're all about community. You only got we only have like a minute or two left, but I mean, you've been a lifelong child advocate and a community leader. You know, what kind of advice do you have for parents looking to become more involved and effective leaders in their communities?
Well, there's more and more leadership initiatives happening, you know, and I just tell people, you know, get involved, go to your school board meetings and just listen. Get to know what that's about, because it affects the children, you know, your children. Same thing with community councils, or any community committee. Get involved, I think. And search out, you know, if you feel you want to tune up your leadership skills, you know, there are, like I said, more and more coming out. But just get involved, and it's so rewarding. But if you need skills, definitely, if you don't feel comfortable with public speaking, definitely look at those leadership skills.
Well, Barb, I want to give a big peenie-geegy thank you for coming on. And really, it's always nice to talk about the positive work that you're doing in our community. And it's like a little pebble thrown in a pond, and it's reaching all these other Native people and really making the whole society better. Hey, Haley, can you give out a quick shout out to how people can listen to this again? And
yeah, of course. So this half of the show has been we really appreciate Little Moments Count and their support. You can hear a recording of this show at littlemomentscount.org/podcasts. And for any more information, you can visit their website at littlemomentscount.org.
Barb, thank you so much. How can we get a hold of you? You want to give out your Facebook and email?
Sure. Miigwech, I'm glad to be here, and thank you for asking me on and for Little Moments Count. And you can reach us at allnationsrise.com or indigenousvisioning.com, and reach out to us.
Wow. Thank you so much again, Barb. We got to have you on and talk about those Indigenous boxes. Just a game changer. Maybe we can get some adult ones out there in the community. Hoa. Right on. Thanks, Barb. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Former President Donald Trump told supporters in Philadelphia that talking to them is how he's preparing for Thursday's debate. Earlier Saturday, he courted evangelical voters at an event in Washington, D.C.
Christians go to church, but they don't vote that much. Do you know the power you have if you would vote? It wouldn't even be so. You got to get out and vote just this time. I don't care. In 4 years, you don't have to vote, okay?
President Biden spending the weekend preparing for the debate at Camp David, the presidential retreat. Severe heat continues to impact millions of people across the U.S. It's deadly in the Middle East. Authorities say more than 1,000 people have died during this year's Hajj, the Islamic pilgrimage to the city of Mecca. And police in Arkansas say a fourth victim died after Friday's shooting at a grocery store in Fordyce. Four people are still in hospitals, including a woman in critical condition. Police have not released any information about a motive. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
A Brewers comeback cut short. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It looked like the Brewers had made a tremendous comeback. Down 6-0, ninth inning, bases loaded, two outs. Bryce Terang at the plate on Fox Sports.
Burritos 1-2. In the air to left, Azokar started in, has to race back all the way to the corner, and it is gone! And Bryce Terang with his second career grand slam has completely shifted the complexion of this game in the ninth.
But the Brewers ended up losing 6-4 despite the grand slam. Milwaukee 0-3 in the series heading into today's game. A recap coming up later tonight. Elsewhere, the last place Rockies beating the Nationals 8-7 thanks to a pitch clock violation. It was a tie game. Bottom of the ninth, the Rockies loaded the bases when the home plate umpire declared the Nationals pitcher Kyle Finnegan was 1 second too late throwing a pitch. It forced the game-winning run with an automatic walk. It's the first time a game has been won because of a pitch clock violation. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A mix of clouds and sunshine for your Sunday. Northwest winds and a chance of showers, even some thunderstorms as we head through the afternoon. Highs in the mid and upper 70s. Those shower and storm chances come to an end tonight. Partly cloudy, upper 50s to lower 60s. Right now it's 64.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's official. Governor Tony Evers proclaims this June as Pride Month in Wisconsin. But did you know the state has a long history of activism alongside LGBTQ plus communities and allies? The Civic Media Radio Network supports the impact and celebrations and is sharing thoughtful stories all month long.
Bob Neal and Edgar Hellum fell in love in the 1930s. But they also fell in love with Mineral Point, Wisconsin, where they worked together to rescue and restore buildings set to be demolished. The gay couple gave Cornish language names to those properties. The best known may be Pendarvis, a piece of history from the mid-1800s when Mineral Point was a lead mining town. Their success during the Great Depression is considered the start of what's turned the area into an art and tourism hub. It's a story of love and preservation, and you can still experience it today thanks to Bob and Edgar. I'm Terry Barr.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Coming up on Monday, Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot gives us a big weather update.
And Jeff Van Beaver from X18 Ministries joins us. Don't miss it.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native Concrete and Masonry, working together with clients to design, perform, create, and accomplish. Check out their work at nativeconcretemasonry.com.
Hey, you know, I want to get back to wishing everybody a happy Juneteenth. And, you know, Haley, this is like the first holiday, U.S. holiday, that's illegal to teach in about 15 states. So,
yeah, I saw that.
You know,
isn't that just absolutely wild?
Yeah, we're in the upside down world at many turns in our driving down the street of happy destiny. It's crazy. Again, I never thought I'd see. Well, you know, I want to just say this real, years ago when the Gulf War happened. And you must have been little teeny when that happened the first time. I couldn't believe how people were celebrating that. But, you know, the good thing out of the whole deal was they were celebrating also our military, which my experience prior to that was the Vietnam War. And, you know, the Vietnam War was a total cluster. And protesting and students, and President Johnson didn't run again. And just 1968 was crazy, a Democratic convention. I was, you know, I always talk to when Wendy and I talk about how crazy like it was during George Floyd or the pandemic. I was like, well, nothing was crazier than 1968. You know, you had Martin Luther King killed, assassinated, Bobby Kennedy assassinated. The convention, the war was raging in Vietnam, and people were moving to Canada to not be drafted, because that war too, Haley, was you could be drafted if you were not in college, and if you said you were homosexual, they wouldn't draft you either. But that's a class war if you're going to college and you're just drafting people that aren't into college. It's like, what the?
Yeah. And I think, you know, it just reminds me of all the protesting and stuff at the college campuses that took place, you know, within the past couple months all around Turtle Island for Palestine and to cease fire. And it's just, you know, we look back at these important dates and all of these things that, you know, luckily were ended, such as slavery. I mean, you look back at the dates and it really didn't happen all this long ago. So it's amazing to see how far we've come, but yet still need to go a long ways.
Yeah, definitely. And it's we just got to keep on talking and talking in a good way.
Yep.
You know, about things that that matter to us, and steady she goes. I just don't believe a lot of the things that are going on in mass media, and when they talk about how close things are, we definitely need to be vigilant. But you know, in order for the press to work and to make money, they have to say things are closer than they are. They have to give Trump, normalize everything that he's saying. And it's crazy. It's totally crazy. Again, it's funny. I've joked with a couple of our guests over the years that there was a guy running for president, and there was a picture of him on a boat with somebody, you know, taking a picture with him that wasn't his wife. And that was the end of his presidency. Wow. You know, that's how the moral compass in a sense has really changed. And, you know, this fake billionaire that was a TV star has people really, really engaged. And it's scary because it's not a religious war. It's people about power, and people think they're losing power. They're going to jump on.
Power and money.
Yeah. But they're going to jump on the ship. And you know, it's like, Trump's for 1% of the people, if that, and just the rich people, but they don't seem to care or understand that because they feel like they're losing power. So it's a weird world we live in, but, you know, vote early and take your friends to the polls and,
yeah, and learn the correct history.
Yeah. Well, and I think we preach to the choir here on Native Roots Radio. It's just that I feel like there's so much down news that I'd like to snap out and say, hey, we outnumber them. We beat them by 8 million votes last time and 3 million the other time with Hillary. And we just need to engage and keep our people moving because there's not going to be any change that we'd like as progressive people if we don't have people in office that can move the dial. And definitely Trump and all those Trumpsters aren't going to be doing that.
No.
No. Exactly.
That's all I got to say about those Trumpers. It's right just on. Nothing.
Well, yeah. So I didn't mean to get dark there because we like to keep things positive here, too. And we have Bob Blake coming on later in the show. And Haley, you got a few things I want to say this is that if you want to meet Haley in person, she's going to be at the Four Sisters Market at running Native Roots Trading Post.
Yeah, come out and get some T-shirts. We have hats, hoodies,
books.
What's your favorite T-shirt that we currently have? I got to say mine's probably the Purple Rain Dancer one.
Yeah, I designed that one, and I appreciate that. And I like the one that looks like Pink Floyd. It's on a black T-shirt, and it's instead mm-hmm. of it has a teepee right in the middle, but so you have to really kind of look at it. It's really subtle and very cool. That was our number one seller at the State Fair.
It was. And I remember just being in community and like not even knowing some of these people, and they were just wearing, you know, those Pink Floyd teepee hats. And I'm like, hey, I know where you got that. That's Native Roots Trading Post.
We'll have those there.
Yes, we will.
Yeah, definitely. So, and what I like too is we'll have a couple books. People buy books too, and we'll have American Indian Movement, Pictorial History. That's a really big book. And of course, the new book, we'll have one or two of those. That the book about Minnesota's removal of Ho-Chunk. And then our uncle, Uncle Clyde's biography, Clyde was a good friend of ours, Clyde Belcourt, founder of Native American Movement.
American Indian Movement.
And, you know, and it spent a lot of time with him in his last years of his life, and got to go to Wounded Knee with him and see him really in action. And we'll miss him. And but he has a book, and, you know, he'd tell stories, and it was like right out of the book. So, you know, there was definitely consistency.
Yeah, Clyde's a great one. So the farmers markets, we're talking about the Four Sisters Farmers Market. It's filled with vendors. It happens every Thursday on 1414 East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. This is a program put on by NACD, Native American Community Development Institute, one of our really amazing sponsors who does so much great work in the community. Some of the vendors that will be there tomorrow along the American Indian Cultural Corridor will be the Minneapolis Fire Department. So David Carson, one of our good friends and recognized community members, will be there, I'm sure. Native Youth Arts Collective, Standing Bear Designs, Indigenous Beauty, Make Voting a Tradition will be tabling. So always good to chat with those guys and Jolene Jones. And then the Four Sisters Farmers Market will also be doing an artist in residence with Natchez Bolio. So come celebrate the summer solstice. That's what this week's theme, which is really cool, the summer solstice. And they're going to be doing some art projects. So it'll be going on from 10 to 3 p.m., and that's every Thursday.
Absolutely. And come out and meet Haley, and I'll be around lurking around with my sunglasses on, so you may be able to catch me walking through.
Always. I feel like we try to get there almost every week.
Exactly. Hey, I just want to say, too, a big shout-out. One of my all-time favorite baseball players, Willie Mays, passed away. And I just want to bring that up because I'm a huge baseball fan. And, you know, Babe Ruth, I believe, was the greatest baseball player of all time, only because he pitched, too. He could have been a Hall of Famer as a pitcher along with 714 home runs. But many people believe Willie Mays was the greatest player of all time because he was a five-tool player, throwing, running, catching, hitting.
Yeah, it's always hard when we lose, those really amazing legends. I want to give a shout-out to one of our good friends. Probably, you've known her a lot longer. Madonna Thunderhawk's birthday was yesterday. Yeah, who is the matriarch warrior, our matriarch leader for Warrior Women's Project. And we actually just had her on last month. So if you want to hear part of that interview with Madonna Thunderhawk, that would be from May 20th.
Yeah, and, like I was talking about Willie Mays, and Madonna's getting up there in years, too. I always joke that I saw her when she was 79 years old on a horse at Wounded Knee, and I was just going, the heck?
Yeah, just amazing, amazing woman.
I'm 63 and I don't want to even get on a bike because I don't know what's going to happen, let alone a human horse.
Right. I know. And we have birthdays coming up in our family, too. So a big Ho Chaney Hump, Kay Baske, happy birthday to our relatives, my brother and your twin daughters, Jelaine and Jaleesa.
Yes, their birthdays are coming up, too. Definitely really excited. And we have grandchildren coming, so really, really pumped up for that. And I got to clean that office out, Haley. You got to come over and help me. I'll pay you.
I could do that. anything for those, anything for those grandkids. And I'm so excited to be an auntie.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and it takes a village too. And so we'll be definitely, checking out and hanging out and. I plan on doing a lot of singing to the new twins.
Yeah, do you think they'll like that?
Well, I have perfect pitch, so everybody likes that, Haley.
Okay, I believe you. He's telling the truth, you guys.
Yeah. Well, cool. Hey, we got Bob Blake up next.
And, yes, we do.
We love talking to him, and it's a lot of positive energy right there. So, hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio's, what day is it? Wednesday. Wednesday's edition of I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
You're listening to the talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true. In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes. That doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Here, I am in Coleman 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio. And we're back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh.
Howl.
Howl.
Hey, we have our friend Bob Blake with the Solar Bear, with the Solar News, and also CEO of nonprofit Native Sun. Good to see you, Bob.
Good to see all of you. Robert, I've got some really cool news here for the state of Minnesota. It looks like this license plate for solar, for Pollard. Okay, so... There's a Pollard Nader friendly solar act. And what's going to be a part of this is solar panels are on top of these pollinator-friendly, like solar farms. You know, you would see all the solar panels out there in the field. Okay. Mm-hmm. Underneath those solar panels is like pollinator-friendly, like, you know, plants, right? Mm-hmm. That are good for the bees. Here's the thing, everyone listening to the show right now. The bees love solar because the solar heats up and then they can, like, you know, go and create their beehives and, you know, do their stuff. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. What bees do. But the point is that the panels are above these pollinator friendly, like, you know, prairies. Yeah. And then the bees can go out there, you know, create more pollinator friendly plants for us. So, you know, we can breathe oxygen and stuff like that. I mean, I don't know, you know,
and eat fruit,
and, you know, yeah, we can live as human beings. Right. So the bees really love solar. Now get this, the state of Minnesota is going to come out with a license plate now that contributes X amount of dollars, folks, that you now can put on the back of your, or you can put on your vehicle as your license plate. And it's just like the other kind of habitat for Minnesota at license plate. You know, there's X amount of dollars that go into these funds. But I think this is really smart because this supports, you know, the pollinator friendly habitat spaces for bees and such birds and it combines it with solar energy, which can produce clean energy for our community. So I really love this, and I think it's awesome. I know I'll be getting one of these license plates when they emerge.
Hey, Kyle, can we get a t-shirt that says bees love solar and then like have a bee carrying a solar panel or something?
I think that would be a great idea. And you know where we should sell it at? The Native Roots Trading Post. That would be my opinion.
Yeah.
Where's my applause button there? Yeah.
Okay. Well, another thing happening, Robert, in the world of renewable energy, data centers. Data centers are going to be placed in the Northern Plains here. And this is looking like a great area for them because it's going to be cool, you know, when it's in the wintertime for them. And they require a lot of energy. But these companies, Microsoft, Google, and Apple, want to use renewable energy. So tribal nations out there, this is a great time, you know, to sell power to these folks. But the other piece about this is just that this is just a great place for it. So just to let you know that's going to be a really big issue coming in the future, and data centers are going to be placed. And there is the one down there by Prairie Island that's being put together right now from, I think it's Google or Microsoft are putting it down there in Red Wing. So
that's cool. Yeah. That's big for whoever's has a empty building and they, especially one of the nations, and put these in there and keep them cool and make some money.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think this is going to be really huge. And this was my idea, Robert, in getting the Tribal Energy Advisory Board piece of legislation passed in the state of Minnesota. So, you know, this can act as an advocate for a lot of what's going to be happening here in the future. That was Bob Blake's big idea here, you know, to have this advocacy piece at the state legislation. At the state, so they could advocate on behalf of tribes, or, you know, transmission building, data centers. You know, I mean, we know we have the Public Utilities Commission, but we really do need a Tribal Utilities Commission after all these tribes start creating their own utilities, and this could be that voice. So trying to think ahead, you know, that's the concept because you're seeing all these things happen. Right. And some other news, Robert, 96 degrees today. It's going to get hotter in Bangor, Maine. This is like Bangor, Maine, Robert. Hit 96 today. Nice. Yeah, that's way up there to the northeast side there. So they have like a heat dome over them right now. New York, Robert, I know you go out to New York a lot with Wendy.
Yep.
Yep. And so there's a big heat dome over that area. But that's crazy. So they broke their all-time record today. So folks, and there's some wildfires that are happening out on the West Coast.
Yeah.
You know, we really need to take climate change serious.
Definitely. And they were saying that, Robert, that up north, northern, northeast of the United States with that dome, that's the hottest it's ever been recorded in June. And it's right off the ocean. So I think it's way up there just forever.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, so, I mean, you know, we really need to get on renewable energy to reduce our carbon footprint. And this is by getting renewable energy, doing what Solar Bear has been talking about, Robert, for the last 5-6 years we've been doing this, Robert, together.
Yeah.
Screaming from the top of the mountain, but we really need to do this. And yes, the Solar Bear will be up at the Red Lake Power during 4th of July weekend. We will have the Mustang Mach-E out there for everybody to check out. We'll have giveaways, Robert, Native Sun hats, Native Sun swag, and then we're going to be raffling off a few things for folks to participate in a drawing. But come and see the Native Sun Mustang Mach-E that we have, and then I think we got a meeting coming up with the Ho-Chunk Nation.
Let's hope so. Let's do
That's exciting.
Definitely. So Haley's going to be up there July 4th. Put my name in that drawing, Haley.
Yeah, right? I'll be up there with Representative Heather Keeler. So we'll be on the lookout to do some interviews with some really cool people. Maybe we can come spot you and talk to you, Bob. And I'll definitely wear my Solar Bear hat up there.
Yeah, and come by and get a free Native Sun hat. And I just put in the order today. So I hope they're done, everyone. But I will be speaking... next week at the I will be the keynote speaker for the Wisconsin Tribal Climate Adaptation Concert at the Oneida Events Center or Hotel, right there in Green Bay. So I will be the keynote speaker there next Wednesday or something. So come check me out if you all can. I will be there, be talking to everybody. So really excited to give that keynote speech, and be a part of that wonderful event of all the tribal nations. Talking about it.
And what is that? Is that the end? Is that the Solar Bear with the solar news?
Oh, one last event next month. I'll be at the Bezos Electric School Bus in Baltimore, Maryland, and we will be talking about getting electric school buses and really pushing that for our kids across the country. And then the month after that, I'll be doing a electric bike ride across the state of Minnesota with folks from Patagonia and Yale and Stanford. So let me know, Robert, if you want to be a part of that and do an interview. We'll get you interviewing all these folks.
Yeah, that sounds great. And Pini Gigi, Robert Blake from Red Lake, owner of Solar Bear and CEO of Native Sun, will be back tomorrow. Hey, a big, big Pini Gigi. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
And free Leonard Peltier. Now.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, more and more UW-Madison students are interested in learning about public policy and sinkholes. Why? We'll find out. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. The big winners are in for the Scotty Summer Contest.
Exciting. Let's listen to the calls.
Hi, who's this?
This is Tori.
You're one of our grand prize winners.
All right, man. Great to hear this morning.
We got some good news for you.
Okay.
You are one of our grand prize winners.
Really?
Yes.
Awesome.
Winning is fun. Just ask Tammy from Baraboo and Tori from Kiwani.
Thank you. That's great.
Listen for future chances to text and win on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Extreme early summer weather continues with 21 counties in northern Iowa under a disaster declaration because of flooding. ABC's Samara Theodore says that's not the only part of the country that's dealing with extreme weather.
Hail and more heavy rain battering the southern U.S., New Mexico, Texas, and Florida.